Good morning. This is the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. I'm Keith Rutger, and we're joined on our Wednesday show with Mike Scatwin. Mike, how are you doing this morning?
Keith, I'm doing wonderful. Good to be talking to you this morning. Excited to go out there and get the dairy news out to everybody.
Absolutely right. Let's get into some dairy. I think first we're going to start off with blocks and barrels, correct?
That is correct. We'll jump right into it. Midday Tuesday, we saw that block cheese closed at $2.36.5 per pound, and that was down 2.75 cents with two lots being traded. We saw that barrel cheese closed at $2.38 per pound, and that was up 1 penny with seven lots being traded. So it's very unusual for barrels to be priced above blocks, and the notice that there's interest of about seven lots of it, which is quite a bit of interest. I know it doesn't sound much like corn, but it's a little bit different on the dairy side. But it's good to see that that was a positive number. That means that blocks will probably start jumping towards the end of the week. We've got butter closing at $2.65 per pound. That was down 0.75 cents with no lots being traded. And then we saw that non-fat dry milk closed at $1.70.75 per pound, down 4.75 cents with no lots being traded. And then finally, dry whey closed at 57.5 cents per pound, down 4 cents with five lots being traded. So seeing the dry whey drop below 60 cents for the first time in many months tells you that the largest buyer of dry whey is China, and there is something amiss there. So it looks like there might be a slack in demand. But anyways, good to see that the barrels were up in pricing.
Absolutely a good call. So tell us more about the dry whey. What's going on with that?
Well, dry whey is a product that's used typically for protein enhancement into the hog population into Southeast Asia. Particularly China is our largest customer. And what I think we're seeing here is a retraction of probably demand at this point. That either means something has happened with the hog population in China, or that the buildup in inventory over there is a little amiss. So we'll be watching that one close next week when we look at those numbers.
That'll definitely be a good idea to catch up back our producers with. So we're getting toward the end of April, but how is our milk production in March?
Well, we had the milk production report for the United States come out, and in it we saw that the trend was down on the top 23 states, about 0.5% below last year's milk production. And it's not very often that we see milk production lag behind the year before, but we have seen it almost 4 months in a row now, and it's becoming a symptom of the cost of inputs into milk production. Proteins are high, corn's high. It's very difficult for a producer to make ends meet and keep production at a higher level. So when we normally talk about this, we talk about the states that have lost production, and then we go to the states that have gained. What we saw on the losing side was that Arizona was down 1.3%, losing 2,000 cows. Colorado was down 1.1%, losing 2,000 cows. We saw Florida was down 10.7%, losing 11,000 cows. That is a huge drop for the state of Florida. And that is a state that is already milk deficit, so that means that they will probably be pouring more milk from this southwest region down into the southeast again. We saw that Illinois was down 2.5%, losing 2,000 cows. Indiana down 3.7%, losing 7,000 cows. Kansas down 4%, losing 5,000 cows and 20 pounds of production per cow. Michigan was down 3%, losing 15,000 cows. Minnesota down 2.6%, losing 9,000 cows. We saw that New York was down 1%, losing 6,000 cows. Ohio down 3.4%, losing 10,000 cows. Pennsylvania down 2.2%, losing 8,000 cows. Utah down 2%, losing 2,000 cows. Virginia down 2%, losing 2,000 cows. And then the state of Washington down 4%, losing 14,000 cows. So it seems like there's a lot of states that have lost cow numbers and production did not move at all. So that would mean that the production per that state would have to go down year over year. When we look at this production on the winning side, we saw that California was up 0.5%, gaining 1,000 cows. Georgia, the big surprise in the top 23, they were up 8.6%, gaining 7,000 cows. So they made up some of that difference that Florida lost, but not the entire difference. We saw that Iowa was up 0.8%, holding cow numbers steady, but gaining 15 pounds per cow. Oregon was up 1.3%, gaining 1,000 cows. South Dakota was up 20% year over year, gaining 30,000 cows and holding milk production steady. And then the number two dairy state, Wisconsin, was up 0.2%, gaining 3,000 cows. So those that did gain either gained huge or they didn't gain at all. And those that gained huge are off of expansion projects or refilling of a barn that was empty. So I think that was the case in Georgia. So, and then when we look at our states of local concern, we see that New Mexico was down 9% year over year, losing 37,000 cows. That is a huge, huge number. And they gained about 45 pounds production per cow. Our home state of Texas fared decently. We've done as well as this before at 6.7% increase year over year, gaining 22,000 cows and 65 pounds per cow in production. So it's actually a fairly good job by our home state producers. When we look at that Golden Milk Can Award, though, the state that gained the largest percentage year over year, definitely South Dakota with that 20% gain. So hats off to the producers there, but certainly a second medal there to the producers in Georgia gaining that 8.6%. That's a huge gain for them.
Well, and it sounds like there are a lot of gains, but it's also really sad to hear that it sounded like the net this month was a lot of losses.
Yeah, it was, and it was in some of the surprising places. I think the losses up in Michigan and Illinois and the upper Midwest are reflective of the input costs that producers are seeing there, and they're looking at those cows that are probably marginal production and saying, oh, I really can't afford to feed her or keep her for next year, so they're selling those cows.
What are we looking at with cold storage for March?
Cold storage was actually a very pleasant surprise, especially on the cheese side. I find it to be a bearish tone. We saw that in March, American-type cheese was down 1.5% year-over-year and down 1.1% or 9 million pounds from the February numbers. And that compares to a five-year average that normally sees the February to March increase of about 9.8 million pounds. So an 18 million pound swing off of the five-year average there, which means cold storage is really down on American cheese. When you look at all other cheeses, they were up 0.1% year-over-year and up 0.4% or 2.2 million pounds from the February numbers. And that compares to a five-year average that normally sees an increase of about 11 million pounds. When you combine them all together, it's down 0.7% year over year, or down 0.6% from the February numbers, or 9 million pounds. And that compares to that five-year average that normally sees an increase of about 21 million pounds. So that's a 31 million pound swing off of the five-year average. And that is the first decline from the February to March scenario that we've seen since 2011. So that tells you that it's a pretty marked decline on the cold storage, and that definitely gives strength to some of the Class 3 prices that we'll talk about here in a little bit. The final, on the butter side, we did see that was probably a neutral number. It was down 20% year over year, but up 7.5% from the February numbers, and that compares to a five-year average that normally sees the month-to-month February to March increase about 9.2 million pounds. So pretty much what I would call a neutral butter. But butter's been plenty high-priced, and there was concern about the supply of butter. So that one pretty much fits what the market has done.
Well, that's really good. And you had mentioned that we'll get to it in a minute. I figure now's a good time as any. Class 3 and 4 milk, how are we doing there?
Well, Class 3 milk, midday Tuesday, April was trading at a 24.32. We had the May at a 24.84, June trading at a 24.92. Third quarter opened up in July at 24.75 and finished up in September at 23.80. We had the October open up the fourth quarter at 23.70 and finish up in December at 22.75. And then when we came to the first quarter of 2023, we're seeing that the January is opening up at a 22.80, And we normally see it trade about 50 cents below the December, so it was good to see that trade up above that December number. And then we finished out the first quarter with March finishing up at a 21.40. Over on the Class 4 side, we saw that the April traded at a 25.20. We've got the May trading at a 24.62. We've got June trading at a 23.82, which is a pretty big fall off on that one right there. When we get to the third quarter, we see that the July is trading at a 23.75 and trading back up to a 24.20 in September. And then in the fourth quarter, we're seeing October at 24.10 and finishing out the year in Class 4 in December at 23.40. Then looking into the first quarter of 2023, we're seeing a 22.80 in January, trading down to a 21.40 next March. So that's a little bit over a year ago with higher than $21 prices in both Class 3 and Class 4. That tells you that the market is fairly bullish on milk prices, at least for the next year.
Well, it does sound like there's some ups and downs with that as well. Let's move in real quick. What are some dairy RPs? What's that?
Yeah, the Dairy Revenue Protection Plan gives you an opportunity to lock in prices for each quarter, one quarter in advance. And what we're seeing on Class 3, Quarter 3, is that we can buy a $22.91 for 41 cents. You can buy a Quarter 4 at $22.13 for 51 cents. And then Quarter 1 of 2023 at $20.71 for 57 cents. Over on the Class 4 side, a little bit better opportunity. We've got Quarter 3 trading a $22.92 for 51 cents. Quarter 4 trading a $22.58 for 60 cents. And then into the first quarter of 2023, we've got a 21.16 trading for 75 cents.
Sounds good. This has been a very full report. What do we got coming for us next week, you think?
You know, next week we're going to start putting some things together. We will probably have a global trade event over in New Zealand to talk about international prices, as well as a discussion on how we did on the March export trades. And then we'll be looking at probably the dairy products report here in the U.S. to tell us how much production we saw for the month of April. So there'll be lots of information to look at.
That'll be good. Let's get ready for all that information coming up next week.
You bet, Keith.
Well, thank you, Mike, for joining us this morning. Always happy to have you.
Oh, my pleasure, Keith. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, listeners, for joining us on this morning's episode of the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour.